This is a recording of my side of an interview with WJR Radio in Detroit, the Frank Beckman Show, on Monday, July 19th at 11:32 a.m. Part of what we're doing grows out of my research at the Reynolds Journalism Institute at the University of Missouri. As you probably know, Frank, because I know you have a journalism background, the Missouri School of Journalism is the oldest and second or third largest in the country. And a few years ago, they got a large grant from the Donald W. Reynolds Foundation to start up a research center that would look at fostering ideas that led to experiments, research, and projects that would sustain the values, principles, and purposes of journalism. And so out of that, we've conceived something that we call the Info Valet Service, or the Information Trust Association. Let me explain how it works. One of the problems with the internet today is that people are shipping and sharing information. And while that's a good thing from a public interest point of view, it's a tough boat for people who produce content, for people who write stories and need to get paid in order to afford to do those stories. And so what we need is some method that makes it really easy for the public to pay for information that they think is worth paying for. And that doesn't really exist today. You can go and register at a website, maybe set up a credit card account at that one website, but that only works at the one website. And so what we've conceived is a system that will allow a person to have one ID, one account, one password at a most trusted home base, which might be the Detroit News or the Detroit Free Press, for example. And from that home base, they would be able to click on and acquire information at multiple other independent information resources across the web and have that charged to an account or a subscription, or maybe on an a la carte per click basis with one ID, one password, one account, one bill. We think a reasonable price for that kind of subscription would be a few dollars a month, and that would cover a sort of range of basic information that you might want as a consumer, like, for example, your local news if you live in the Detroit area. And if your home base, your information valet, as we like to call it, if your information valet is a home base in the Detroit area. But on the other hand, there's also over in Ann Arbor an outfit called ProQuest, who we've gone and visited. ProQuest is an aggregator of sort of historical and medical science technology articles from all kinds of sources. And wouldn't it be neat if, as part of your, say, Detroit Free Press or Detroit News account, you could also get access into the ProQuest database on an a la carte basis, or maybe even as part of a subscription bundle. I've talked to a lot of people about this idea over the last couple of years as I've been doing research at the Reynolds Journalism Institute, and most people now are really understanding, as you were saying at the beginning of the half hour here, that journalism is in sort of a crisis mode, that the way journalism used to be sustained, classified advertising and display advertising, is not working anymore. As you know, ASCAP and BMI, they are in the business of contracting with radio and television stations and other performers of music to make sure that originators of music, the people who write the music, the people who compose the music, are compensated in some way. And the way ASCAP and BMI work is through what I call a sampling system. In other words, they for example, probably once a year have a discussion with somebody at WJR where they determine how much music WJR plays on its air, and then based on a kind of sense of how that compares with use by other radio stations, they come up with a fee that they ask WJR to pay, and WJR pays that fee, and that means that then you can play whatever music you want that's within the ASCAP BMI inventory over the course of that next year without having to worry about any copyright issues. Right. Yeah, that's a good question. The New York Times tried that with just one site, and that was the New York Times. And also, they took content that people were used to getting free, all of their columnists, and they suddenly started charging for it. And things have matured a lot in the few years since that was done. First of all, most newspapers have come to realize that if you've been giving something to somebody for free for a long time, and all of a sudden one day, click, you say it's going to be, they're going to have to pay for it. That's not going to sit well with a lot of consumers. So you need to come up with a way of doing this gradually. And what the New York Times is talking about doing next year is continuing to allow first, second, third click free on a lot of their content. And also free links to their content when you reach it through a search engine. But once you start to use the Times website regularly and really deeply dive into it, then you'll start getting requests to subscribe, and they'll be increasingly strident over time. But it won't be just one day, bang, you're going to have to pay for everything. And also, I think the New York Times is realizing that, as many newspapers are, that it's important to come up with new services to go along with this premium content model so that people can be offered something new that they can't get at all on the free web today. Thanks, Frank.